Thank you. Thank you, David, Mike. Thank you, church, for the way that you've been singing this morning. And we want to say a special thank you to all of our guests who are with us, especially for the first time today. I'll say a bit more about our celebration of joy today in just a moment. But if you are with us for the first time today, just a couple of things I would like to make you aware of. First of all, we would love for you to stay and enjoy a meal with us after our worship this morning. There's something happens with table fellowship. You know, eating is a part of the gospel story. It really is. I am so thankful for that. I love that aspect of gospel life. So I hope that you will stay and enjoy a meal with us afterwards. Also, at the conclusion of our message this morning, there will be a couple of our shepherds will be down front. If you should come to the point in your life where you feel like there needs to be a change and you've never made a commitment to Christ, there will be two of our shepherds who will be willing to talk with you, to receive you. And if you would like to become a follower of Jesus by changing the direction of your life and being identified with Jesus' own death, burial, and resurrection through baptism, as you become a part of him, we would love to be able to have a role in that decision. And also, you will see at the end of the message, a lot of folks coming down front, and you'll see some small groups forming all over our auditorium. We refer to those as our prayer circles here at Brooks Avenue. We believe that there is power in prayer. There's power in praying together. And it doesn't matter whether you're a member here or a guest. If you have a particular burden, if there's something that is really burdening you today, and you just feel that you just need to share it with somebody, let somebody else help you with that burden, then these folks in these circles, these prayer facilitators, will be more than welcome to welcome you to one of those circles, to pray with you, to pray for you. Or if you just simply want to write it down on a card and pass it to someone, we'd be happy to do that. Today, we are referring to it as a celebration of joy. A celebration of joy. There is so much bad going on in the world, going on in our nation. You turn on the news, you open the newspaper every single day. It's just a litany of bad things that are happening in our world, in our nation, in the lives of people. And I do believe that people are searching for something more, that they are searching for something deeper, that they are searching for joy. There is a difference between happiness and joy. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But people are searching. Now, for a nation as blessed as ours, there is so much anxiety and angst that is a part of American life today. Worry, fear have become such a part of the fabric of American life. But we believe as Christians that it doesn't have to be that way for people. It just doesn't have to be that way. That there is something. Well, actually, it's not a something. That there is someone who offers people what they so desperately need and what they're looking for. Now, I said a moment ago that there is a difference between happiness and joy. While happiness may be a component of joy, it's not quite the same thing. A lot of times, happiness, whether or not we experience it, is dependent upon things happening in our lives, circumstances. If things are going well, then I'm a happy camper, right? But things don't go so well. You know, I'm headed into the office and I'm sitting there at a stoplight and the light turns green. And the person in front of me is just sitting there and I can see that they're texting, you know. Do they not realize what is going on in my life? Do they not realize how important it is for me to get to the office on time? You know, what's the matter with you? And so then I lay down on my horn. Maybe I do more than that, you know. Maybe a few words. And next thing you know, I get to the office and I'm just a grumpy old man because of that situation at the light. I allowed that circumstance to dictate to my personal happiness. Well, it can go a lot deeper than that, you know. But happiness so often is related to circumstances. Things are going right, I'm happy. Things start going wrong, happiness goes out the window. But joy is not related to circumstances. Joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Rather, joy is centered in a relationship, and it's the result of a relationship, at least Christian joy. At the end of the video, which I thought was a wonderful video this morning, there is a text, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. If you'd like to open that, to that text in your Bibles, I encourage you to do that, or your phone apps. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And Paul says to the believers in the ancient city of Philippi, to the Christians there in that faith community, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. There's so many things that people turn to try to derive from those things a sense of happiness and fulfillment. Our careers, status, things. But what this text affirms is that our joy is not dependent upon external things. Rather, our joy is dependent upon a relationship. Rejoice in the Lord, not rejoice in your status, not rejoice in your stuff, not rejoice in your job, in your career, but rejoice in the Lord. Joy is a byproduct of a relationship. In another New Testament book, it's the book of Galatians, same guy's writing, Paul the Apostle, and he's talking to those believers about the influence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And he talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the things that the Spirit produces in a person's life. And one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is, what do you think? Joy. Joy is the byproduct of a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we have a lot of folks here at Brooks Avenue, people who have deeply impacted my life, who have had a profound influence on my life, who understand this about joy. Joy is more than happiness. Joy is a deep-seated contentment in life, no matter what else is going on around us. A deep-seated contentment that is rooted in a relationship with Jesus. It's the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And these folks understand this. So I'd like to ask them to come to the front. Joan Kalu, Alex McCall, where's Alex? And Chris Mondragon, otherwise known as the Torturer. He's a personal trainer. Yeah. Yeah, if you ladies come on up. And Chris, look at this. I left town for a little bit Friday, and I cleaned the house before I left. I came back, and you know, my living room had been rearranged. Hang on just a second. There we go. All right. Ladies, if you would have a seat right there. Chris, if you want to sit right there. And I'll leave this with you. All right.
No.
Sweet, I could get used to this. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to thank you for agreeing to do this. I asked you folks because you are known by others in your family here at Brooks Avenue as people who exemplify joy. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody sees you as just these really giddy, happy-go-lucky folks. But a lot of people know your stories, and they know you, and they know that even with everything going on in your personal lives, that you still have a deep, meaningful relationship with Christ, and it shows in the way that that you live your life and in the way that you react to things in your life. So the first question I'd like to ask you is, how has your joy in Christ, your joy in that relationship, made a difference in your life? Joan, would you like to go first, since you're holding the microphone?
Okay. Well, before I became a Christian, I was didn't have hope, and didn't even know what joy, true joy, was. I went to parties, house parties, you know, and I'd be happy then at the party because you're doing what, you know, everybody else is doing, but was still no satisfaction. I only found that type of satisfaction the night I gave my life to Christ. There was a joy that I had never known. I couldn't find it in anything that I had tried in the world, not drinking, you know, not partying, nothing. But when Jesus came into my heart, there was so much joy I couldn't hardly contain myself. You know, just the weeping and my heart was so full, you know. And, you know, more than that, I still retain that joy when I go through my trials and tests, and that was different for me, you know, that people can talk about you or, you know, be mean to you, and you still have peace and joy on the inside. And that was really, you know, something different, and it has only grown through the years. So, you know, I know they said 2 minutes, but I don't want to raise your hand.
It's
but
all
anyway,
right. It's all right.
Yeah, I have plenty of stories and how, you know, God has always been there with me, because along with that joy, I have peace. And it's, you know, that I can draw from at any given time. And that's like, you know, Jesus never leaves me alone because of that joy that he gave me. And it's an eternal joy, and it only grows. You don't get any less than that.
Thank you, Joan. Joan is a gifted artist, by the way. But thank you. Thank you, Joan. Alex?
All right. For me, it starts with why I'm here. So Jesus Christ gave his life for me. What other worth do I need, you know? To me, is that's the highest. And then on top of that, I have the freedom to live the life I want. And even though I'm an imperfect person, I have the freedom to be that. And I think that's amazing. There's not a set list of things I can do to be a Christian, you know, or to get into heaven. I can still fail and be okay. And that to me brings me so much joy, to have that freedom in my relationship with Christ.
Okay, good. Chris?
Well, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I use Nehemiah 8:1, says, "Don't be grieved. The joy of the Lord is my strength." That always seems upside down to me. Mm. The strength of the Lord should be my joy, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. Mm. Nehemiah is not just trying to bring the people back to build the wall, but also repentance. But he said, "Don't be grieved," because shame wasn't from God, shame's from Satan. And I've struggled these last 6 years with my faith, just a roller coaster for a lot of different reasons. But I love that Christianity is a team sport. And not only is he my strength, my fortress, my stronghold, but so are my brethren. When I get a text from my brother Life because he's worried about me, and I text him back, I'm worried about me too. But he doesn't judge me or anything. He just says, "I'm here for you." When I got a text from my sister Carol, says she's thinking of me and I'm thinking of her, that encourages me. So not only is our God our stronghold, we're supposed to be each other's stronghold, because Christianity is a team sport, and I'm so grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point that you make, an interesting analogy that it's a team sport. A lot of times, and especially in our culture, we tend to look at Christianity as an individualistic thing, But really, throughout Scripture, the focus is on the community of faith, and how we build each other up and lift each other up. And yeah, it's
well,
a good point.
If you think, we talk about the apostles, they probably all doubted, but they specifically talk about doubting Thomas. He never left his community, even though he didn't believe anymore. Mm-hmm. He had to put his hands into Jesus to believe again. But he didn't believe anymore, but he didn't leave his community, because those were the people who loved
him. That's a good point.
And supported him.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's an interesting passage in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. It's in chapter 10, verse 34, where the preacher says, he's talking to folks who were just kind of growing tired of the struggle. They've been believers for a long time. They'd struggled, and they'd paid for their faith, actually. And he says to them, "You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property." Now he's talking about their past. Did you pick up on that? Joyfully accepted the confiscation of your party, or your property rather, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions.
Amen.
So it's an interesting concept that even though bad things may be happening to us, we can still be joyful. So these believers were able to experience joy because they realized that in Christ they possessed something that nobody else could ever take away from them. Nobody could take that relationship away from them. So in other words, it was a matter of perspective. Now, I know you well enough, all of you, to know some of your stories and to know that you've all gone through difficult times of your own. So how have you been able to remain joyful even in the midst of difficult times?
All right, I'll start this one. It's all about your mindset. Not saying that difficult times aren't hard to get through, but it's a lot of it is the people you surround yourself with. I think that is so important, because when you go through these hard times, it's what are they feeding into you? What are you hearing? Because one, if you just hear your own thoughts, you may never ever get out of that difficult situation. So if you have people feeding into you, what are the messages they're saying? Are they encouraging that either behavior or encouraging that situation or not helping you get through that period of mourning? Or are they doing little things to help you time by time? Not saying that, it won't take time to get through stuff. And then on top of that too, also think of what you are putting into yourself. So either what you're eating, what music you're listening to, where you're going, and also making sure you work out regularly. And something I thought of too was, even when you are working out, for example, a lot of people, you listen to music when you work out, right? What kind of music do you listen to when you work out? You're not going to listen to Luther Vandross, when you're working out. There's
who?
A time for Luther.
I'm sorry, who?
Luther Vandross.
Oh.
A house is not a home, Dennis. Come on now. And you're not going to listen to him in the gym working out, because that's not good workout music. That's not getting your mindset ready and set. There's a time for that, but you're going to listen to something that really feeds you and gets you through that workout or that tough situation.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Well, as a fitness coach, I also tell everybody that for a lot of people, getting healthy and fit is a team sport too. So that community comes back down into play. And a lot of it is mindset, believing you can succeed, applying the right principles, and they're going to succeed. And I think that's one of the things that's kept me all through the Psalms and Scriptures. It talks about rejoicing in His presence. And even before I became a baptized believer, I generally felt and knew God was on my side, had a plan for me. That gives me a lot of joy that He's there for me. I've said this to a lot of people. Just obey what you need to do today. He's a lamp unto our feet, not a spotlight. And that doesn't take away from planning. Everybody should make a plan, but most of us know life is, B, C, D, not what you set up and plan A. A lot of things happen in your life, so you have to readjust. But knowing His presence and that He is my stronghold, my strength, mm-hmm. has really probably just helped me hang in there. You said something too. Don't listen to your own thoughts when you're struggling, because you're the one confused. The world teaches us, trust yourself. No, the scriptures teach us, don't trust yourself. Mm-hmm. If I trusted myself, oh my, I'd get myself in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Joan?
Well, I wanted to add something that that was said about the mind. That, you know, God said that he would keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him. Yep. And a lot of times when Satan comes to try to distract you and take your joy, take your mind off the fact that you have joy already on the inside. Because everything that we need is already within us, according to the scripture. Amen. So to get you distracted, you know, whether it be the children fussing too much, or, you know, somebody cursed you out or cut you off in traffic or whatever it is, if you, when you get your mind, take your mind off of God, you know, then these distractions get your attention. But that joy that God has placed within us will surface, and you will feel that, you know, you'll remember God is with you. God got this, you know. You should be patient, you know, and it calms you down, you know. And that's what it means for me, joy.
Thank you.
Peace, happiness, yeah. Long suffering.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no one can, no matter what's going on in life, no matter how hard things get, you know, for me, going back to what you said, Chris, it's that presence. I know that Christ is always going to be there. He's not going anywhere. He's always going to be there.
He promises that even if we don't feel it.
Even if we don't feel it, he's still there.
Not felt his presence at different times, and that was difficult. And then somebody shared with me, often, Chris, you don't hear from the teacher during a test.
Ah, that's good.
So I know the Lord was testing me, refining me.
That's good.
So he can see his reflection in me,
yes,
during those tests. But they're not easy. Anybody tells you they're happy times, they're not. They're tough.
In 1 Peter 1, in verse 8, the Apostle Peter, he's writing to Christians who were facing tough times, and he tells them, and here's the thing, folks, it's going to get worse.
That's right.
Yeah, that's why he tells them. But in 1 Peter 1, 8, he tells them that even though they had never themselves personally seen or heard Jesus, yet, quote, even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. That's a fascinating thought to me, because really we're kind of in the same boat today, right? We have never personally seen Jesus, and here we are 2,000 years removed from the time that Jesus lived. So let me ask you then, how are you able to experience joy in a relationship with somebody who lived 2,000 years ago and that you've never actually seen?
Because God left his spirit here. Well, Jesus did. Let me get God and Jesus same. But anyway, he left his spirit here with us. And not just with us, it is within us. So, did you say, Dennis?
So how are you able to have a relationship with someone that lived 2,000 years ago?
Well, that's how. Because, you know, the Spirit of God is within us.
Right.
And with that, we can communicate, because communication is good in a relationship. If you're going to have a relationship with anybody, communication is key. The stronger the communication, the better the relationship. So we're able to communicate with God because of what Jesus did for us. So he brings us into that relationship so that we can talk to the Father. And I hope that got to your question.
Yeah. Alex?
I think of be still and know that I am God.
Be still.
Because when you be still, you just look around. Because even though, you know, you ask your relationship with someone who was here 2,000 years ago, he may not be here physically, but he's here. You know? You can see him in nature. You can see him in people. You can hear him in a laugh. So I just think of be still, literally, be still and know that I'm God. Good. Just look around you. He's here.
Good. Thank you. Chris.
That's a hard one for a lot of us because a lot of us are still trying to work our way into heaven. But I agree with that. Being still and recognizing that. A lot of scriptures about rejoicing. And so one of the things when I start getting down is I do three things I'm grateful for. And they could be little things because all good things come from Him. So if we've been reading our scriptures, even a little bit, rather than promise to read an hour, we just get a couple minutes in. We're filling our mind, giving our thoughts to Him. Can't help always what we think, but we can give those thoughts to Him. Being still, I think, is important. And then realizing that Jesus just doesn't want to be our brother and our Savior. He wants to be our friend. And we talk to our friends. And I know I've had some harsh words for Him at times, but I know He's big enough to take it. I always find it, His ways aren't our ways. How He finds ways to use us, even when we're not looking for it, mm-hmm. if we're open to the Holy Spirit, in little things. And those little things might make a big difference. So, again, feeling His presence, reading His word and knowing His word so you trust it. So when you don't feel His presence, you have those words that are promises. I think it's John 17. Jesus gives a long prayer before He gets right. crucified. And I think He says something to the degree He wants His joy to be complete in us. Probably referring to the Holy Spirit, getting the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So He would be with us, and that would be better than Him still being here. He even alludes to that. So, yeah, there's all kinds of historical evidence of Jesus. That's great. But He already promised us that.
Good. All right, well, thank you. Thank you all. I would really like to continue this conversation for a lot longer, but it's just a lot of food back there waiting on us. Some good table fellowship. No, seriously, I really do appreciate you. You know, these folks hear from me all the time, and I think it's good for folks to hear your stories and, you know, other people's real lived experiences. And I want to thank you for your willingness to share that with us today, and thank you. And we're going to stand in just a moment. David's going to lead us in this song. And again, please keep in mind what I said earlier, that if you want to know this joy that they've experienced and that we're talking about this morning, we would love to continue this conversation with you. Just share that desire with us, and we'd be happy to make arrangements to continue to talk. And if you have a prayer burden you'd like to share with someone, we're more than happy to pray with you and to pray for you this morning. So let's stand and sing together. Thank y'all.
The joy of the Lord will be my strength.